Hello, this is Pastor Trent. I want to welcome you to the Mountain Home Church of the Nazarene Sermon Podcast. We are thrilled that you are tuning in to hear sermons from our ministries here at our church. It is our hope that the Spirit of Christ would be present with you as you listen today. I do want to take just a moment to invite you to reach out and connect with us. On our website, we have a way for you to do just that. You can visit www.mhnazarene.org/connect and fill out a very brief form. There's a spot to leave contact info, ask questions, and even to request prayer. Also, be sure to indicate that you listen to us through our SoundCloud podcast to let us know where you're listening. May the Lord be with you this day. Grace and peace to you.
Good morning. It's good to be here. And yes, we do have a lot to celebrate this week. So thanks for reminding us of that. Jed and Carrie's wedding yesterday was a phenomenal event. I know some of you were here. Many of you were here to help celebrate their marriage and to be part of that. I saw it on Facebook promoted as the wedding of the century. So if you missed it, I feel bad for you because you missed out on wedding of the century. This past Tuesday, Caleb and Brooke welcomed Selah Grace to their home and into their lives. And I actually was invited over to meet her last night and got to hold her in my arms. And I took my wife so I didn't get in trouble, and she got to hold her as well. So good to be reminded of God's amazing grace through new precious lives. And so we celebrate with the whole DeGroat tribe this week. We had a board meeting this past week, and Tom tried to introduce himself to me again. It feels like I've been away a little bit this summer, and so I recognize that. It's been a busy but a great summer. I'm back for a few weeks now, so you're stuck with me for a while. So I apologize to those of you that are grieving, and I won't have to introduce myself to Tom anymore. So as rhythms are returning, as summer kind of turns to fall, I know many of our students are maybe not. Maybe some are excited, maybe some are not excited about this, what's happening this week. But students, please know that you're in our prayers as you return to school. Students of all ages, but also teachers and staff and administrators, you are in our prayers as well. We have been praying for you, and we will continue to pray for you as this year begins and you return to school year rhythms. Over the course of our summer, we've been working our way kind of piece by piece through the Sermon on the Mount, and I just kind of wanted to remind us of where Jesus has been taking us in this sermon. Started with the Beatitudes, kind of a familiar passage where Jesus says blessed or happy or fulfilled are some groups of people that we normally don't think of as blessed or happy or fulfilled, such as blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The blessing and the happy and the fulfillment isn't in the mourning, it's in the comforting. It's when God moves, when God acts, that we see the blessings take hold. And then he talks about being salt and light for the world. And at the very beginning, saying, I'm not doing away with the law. What you've learned and what you've been taught and the things that you know are not to be crumpled up and thrown away and discarded. But you see in me and in what I teach and what I bring the fulfillment of these things. But then we have these bad examples. And in chapter 5, verse 20, he talks about, unless your righteousness is going to be greater than the legal experts and the Pharisees, unless your righteousness is greater, then things aren't going to go well for you. The interesting part, and we've talked about this, is that those were who the Jews looked up to. Those were the people of great respect. Those were the people who were supposed to know what it was all about. And Jesus says, unless your righteousness is greater than even these, then the kingdom of heaven is not something that you will experience, you will have a part of. And I think in those two words, greater righteousness, those two words kind of sum up what we've been reading in the Sermon on the Mount. And we have to be careful with those words. Even today, as we live our lives, we have to be careful with those words of greater righteousness. Because I've seen people who are really trying to live their lives the right way. But their greater righteousness kind of puffs up their chest a little bit. Look how good I'm doing. I'm following all the rules. I'm checking all the boxes. I'm dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. And this greater righteousness puffs them up, builds pride, has a air of arrogance about it. And it's in those moments that we end up being just like the Pharisees and the legal experts. There's this greater righteousness that Christ invites us to that is not haughty, is not uppity, is not inflated in itself, but is just sincere goodness. It's about living the right way for all to see and to care for those around us. And that's what Christ is inviting us to. As I take a look at this whole sermon, as I follow this singular thread through this whole passage, that's the life that Christ is inviting us to and guides us through the Sermon on the Mount. So we continue today. We're starting with chapter 7 today. So I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 7 if you have your Bibles with you. If you have a device, you can head in that direction. I'll be reading from verse 1 through verse 12. And for those who are willing and able, I ask that out of reverence for the reading of God's word that you would stand as we read chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 1 through verse 12 from the Common English Bible. Don't judge so that you won't be judged, for you will receive the same judgment you give. Whatever you deal out will be dealt out to you. Why do you see the splinter that's in your brother's or sister's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or sister, let me take the splinter out of your eye, when there's a log in your eye? You deceive yourself. First take the log out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother or sister's eye. Don't give holy things to dogs, and don't throw your pearls in front of pigs. They will stomp on the pearls, then turn around and attack you. Ask, and you'll receive. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door is opened. Who among you will give your children a stone when they ask for bread? Or give them a snake when they ask for fish? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, you should treat people in the same way that you want people to treat you. This is the law and the prophets. This is the word of God given to us, the people of God. We say thanks be to God. Please be seated. I do have to just start out today with the cold, hard truth of this passage. And as we've moved through the Sermon on the Mount, we've worked really hard to kind of go sequentially, to pick up right where we left off. And this passage has two verses that are on two ends of a spectrum. And I just want to call it out right here from the beginning. As preachers, there are some scripture verses and some scripture passages that literally just preach themselves. Like, you can just read it and kind of say, I don't know how to say it any better, and it'd probably be best for me to just go sit down. Like, that's all we need to hear today. Read them, throw in some stories, share a bit of your study and research, read them again, and just say, let's go home, because we have been taught today. Go and do. Preachers love those passages. It's like a week off. We have one of those verses in the passage this week. On the other hand, there are some verses that are just weird. They're weird and problematic. Sometimes the original language is unclear. Sometimes there's a unique word that isn't used anywhere else in Scripture, and so the translator's like, we're not really sure what this means and how this goes. Maybe the author meant to write a different word that's similar. They use unfamiliar imagery or stuff we don't understand. And what ends up is that the scholars and the translators and those that have spent their life devoted to understanding Scripture kind of come up with different ideas and different understandings. And so you'll have one, you'll read one commentary that will say this about a passage and another commentary that reads completely different. And we have one of those in the passage today. So I kind of wanted to start there at the toughest place in the passage. The verse that's a problem for scholars is verse 6. Verse 6. You remember what verse 6 was? Talking about pigs and pearls and things like that. Now, what's one preacher's problem could be another preacher's opportunity. It's possible, probable. Some of you have heard a very strong sermon kind of preached on this message. This is what this message means. And I've heard some of those. And some of those sermons turn into common phrases. You've heard the phrase, don't cast your pearls before swine. You know, Uncle Bob used to say that at Christmas. And you're like, how does that apply? And I think that's in the Bible somewhere, but I'm not sure. But Bob will tell you exactly what that means. And it means that you were doing something wrong, you know. Like, I remember that. I want to encourage you to be careful. Be careful with saying phrases that appear or seem or land on people as kind of scriptural, because a lot of them come from some of these places that we don't really understand, and if you look in the context even of what Jesus was saying through this passage, it's tough. It's not really clear what Jesus meant by this. Now, you can email me and tell me I'm wrong and tell me exactly what it means. And I look forward to reading those emails, and maybe I can come back to it someday and you'll let me know. But from what I've read, this verse is really tough and really difficult to understand, even in the context of what Jesus was saying, and maybe even especially in the context of what Jesus was saying. What is very clear from the beginning of this passage is that Jesus is a bit up in arms about this practice of judging. That in this pursuit of greater righteousness, and I go back to the two pictures of what righteousness is. Is righteousness this? Or is righteousness this invitation to live as Christ lives? And I see judging as a part of this, right? I have greater righteousness. I'm trying to live the right way. I do all the right things, and I don't do all the wrong things. We as humans have a propensity to judge. It's common. This didn't start in 2023. It's not something arrived in the current American politics situation or even COVID. COVID didn't even bring judging, because we have here Jesus talking a long time ago about this propensity that we have to judge. Now, are there seasons in which it's worse? Yes, probably. Is it on display more? Absolutely, it's on display more today. We can see all the judging that everybody does at all times. Just turn on social media, right? And there it is. We've been doing this, though, folks, at least since Jesus. Look at the Old Testament, you'll probably find some evidence there as well. And Jesus obviously has a humorous take on this. He's making a bit of a joke as he's preaching this sermon. I imagine a guy trying to help out his kid, right? You've had a kid, they get something in their eye. That's not a comfortable situation. There's usually tears involved and a lot of whining and fussing, right? They're struggling, and dirt and dust got in their eye. I know it's not dusty ever here in Mountain Home, so struggle to understand. But here's this dad, and he comes up to his son, like with his tree trunk sticking out of his, and he's like, "How can I help you, son?" And the log smacking their kid as he's trying to help him with this little tiny piece of dust stuck in his child's eye. It's not going to work. for the person that has this log, this trunk, this sturdy branch stuck in his eye is not going to be very helpful to remove the speck, the dust, the splinter from the eye of the other person. Jesus' whole sermon here was introduced by this idea of greater righteousness. Unless your righteousness is greater, part of that process of moving towards greater righteousness, calls us to inspect, calls us to look at how we judge others. What's the measure that we use to inspect and to judge others? Here's the deal. The truth is that sometimes I need to have people help me with the specks that I have in my eyes. And sometimes the branches too. But sometimes I need that help. I'm aware of that in my life. That there's times when I need that assistance. But what is this saying? Are we to never help another person out? I hope not, because what I've learned in my life, my 46 long years of life, is that I've certainly needed it at times. I've needed that help. That I wasn't aware of those specks. I wasn't aware of that dust or those splinters. And I've needed help. But here's the key. As I studied this passage, as I looked at it, here's the key that I think I found is that it's my initiative for my own work. That the moments and the times when I've needed help and I've discovered that, man, there's some blind spots that I have, I got to tend to my own stuff in my own life. That I got to tend to my own logs. I got to tend to my own splinters and my own specks. And what I think I see in the world today, instead of me inviting people into those moments, and that's how I do it. That's how I tend to my own stuff, is I surround myself with people that are honest with me, that will talk to me and share with me, and say, hey, look, buddy, there's something sticking out there that you're not seeing. You got a deal, Freeburg. But I invite that in. What I think I see in the world today is a whole lot of people out there looking for other people's logs and other people's splinters. People taking initiative to go find the splinters in other people's eyes and other people's thinkings and other people's opinions. But what I found critical in my own journey, in my own life, is to offer and to invite splinter finders into my life. People that are honest enough to say, Trent, do you see what you're doing here? Do you understand how that affects the people around you? Do you understand the effect that has had? To find people like my wife, people like a best friend, people like a spiritual director or a therapist, people that can read and listen carefully to what we say and watch our lives so that they begin to help us unpack, begin to help us grow. Finding those things, folks, is a good thing. What I've also found in the process of growth in my own life, that as much as these key people have helped me to make progress and allowed me to be more healthy, at the end of the day, what matters most is my connection to God. He doesn't leave it at logs and splinters and friends and help and find this. At the end of the day, my connection to God matters. I can have all the best intention. I can find all the right people. We can do amazing work together. People can be really honest with me. But Jesus reminds us that to pursue God is first and foremost. How do we do that? We ask. We search. And we knock. And that's part of the growth that Christ is inviting us to. I love this down-to-earth picture of God that Jesus creates, comparing the actions of God to the actions of an earthly father. I have some teenagers in the room, so they may not believe this. I do want good things for my kids. I do. I do want to say yes when I can. If they need bread, usually they receive food. I have three high schoolers. Sometimes I run out. Part of what we do as parents is meet their needs on a daily basis. And Jesus says, if we parents here on earth who are flawed and broken and growing and still have so much to learn, and sometimes we mess up and sometimes we run out of patience, if even we earthly parents know how to meet the needs of our children, how much more is God going to give good things to those who come and ask, to those who are on this journey of searching for God, for those that are knocking on the door? How much more is God able to grant the requests of our heart, to give good things to God's children when those requests are made? I think the world and the culture we live in today kind of prefer the person that's ready to knock down the door, right? They have those. I remember the show Cops, right, where they never show the stories where the officers go up and knock on the door and say, "Hello, are you there?" That doesn't make a good TV show, right? But the movies where the cops bust in and arrest the bad guy and apprehend the suspect, those are exciting. But Jesus invites us to go and ask, to go and search, and go and knock. Here we see that different attitude. A gentle and humble posture, not somebody that has this greater righteousness that's to say, "God, you want this. God, you're going to give this to me because this is right and this follows your will." Jesus invites us to a different posture and says, "Those who ask will be answered. Those who seek, those who search will find. And those who make a request will have that request granted by God." When we approach God in that manner, God is ready for us and responsive to us in what we ask for, in what we seek out, and when we knock. And in the final and ultimate verse of this passage that we read, actually ties it back to the beginning. That all of us, you and me and we, ought to treat others the same way we want to be treated. Which has this beautiful symmetry to the opening verses. Remember when he was talking about judging and if we judge in this way, that's the way that we'll be judged? Kind of on the negative side, on that side of being critical and finding fault with others. That there's this symmetry between how we choose to judge other people and to put them under our microscope. Jesus says that's the same way in which we'll be judged. And in the final verse of this passage, he says, instead, there's another way to live. There's another way to live. Instead, treat the people around you, even that one coworker. Treat the people around you the way that you wish to be treated. Our actions towards others will be mirrored back to us. Therefore, as we live our lives, be careful how we treat other people. Not like a watch out, you better watch out. More just an invitation into being the person that we wish others would be towards us. There's no guarantee in that verse, by the way. Treat other people the way that you want to be treated, and everyone will treat you that way. Jesus didn't say that. That's not in this book. There's no guarantee. But I think as we begin to live that way, we invite this greater righteousness here on this planet to the people around us. And we get to say, there's a little piece of how we ought to live in my world today. It's a simple falling into how we know people are meant to be treated because of how we know Jesus Christ. It's in that spirit of ask and search and knock that today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going to participate in the Eucharist today. We generally receive it a couple times per month as a means of grace. This is grace for our lives. It's a coming to the table that Christ has set for us. We don't barge our way to the table of grace. We don't knock down the door and say, here I am. I'm ready for a little Jesus today. We don't earn that invitation. We don't coerce our way to a spot at the table. We are invited time and again back to the table set by God, the place where we receive again the beautiful broken body and shed blood of Christ, meant today and all days for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might live that way, that we might be invited into living the way that we would like to be treated. At this time, I'm going to invite the praise team and those who are prepared to serve us this morning forward to prepare. In the Church of the Nazarene, we serve what's called open communion. And what that means is that we invite anyone who knows Christ to come and participate with us this morning. As you do so, we'll have three stations where you can come and receive elements. We'll have two up here in the front, to which you can kind of come down the aisles and then return to your seats. We'll also have one in the back where you can receive the elements. And you can receive the elements two ways today. If you approach with open hands, we'll place a piece of bread in your hands, and then you can dip that in the juice and take the elements right there. We'll also have bowls of prepackaged elements. So if you prefer, you may take one of those, return to your seat, and partake of those elements at your seat. It was on the night that Jesus was betrayed that he had gathered with his disciples in what later was called the upper room. They had gathered there to celebrate the Passover. And during this meal that was very customary and had a very specific kind of script that they almost followed, Jesus changed that script. And during the middle of the meal, he took bread and after giving thanks to God for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this and remember me." Likewise, after the meal, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant. In it is my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins, for you and for many. As often as you do this and remember me." Today, as we receive the bread and as we receive the juice, not that we've barged our way to the table. No, Christ has invited us here. As we do that today, we remember the broken body and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we remember him. Let me pray, and then we'll receive the elements together. Lord, today, we are so grateful. Today, we are so thankful for the call you have placed on our lives to live into the reality of what you taught when you were here on earth. So today, we ask that you would consecrate these elements. May they be for us symbols of the very broken body and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be for the world your hands and your feet. May they represent your presence in our lives. And today, we just ask that we would receive those and that they would be a means of grace for us. They would be grace for our lives for this day. For this call that you've placed on our life is not simple to do, not easy to accomplish, but we pray that we might just embody who you want us to be. So we receive these elements today as symbols of the broken body and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I invite you to come. The table is set. The invitation is given. Come and dine. We have this custom of holding out our hands just as a physical reminder that we receive this benediction prayer today. May the Lord free us from eyes of hasty judgment and instead allow our lives to be lived in full awareness of the grace bestowed upon us that we might treat others the way we would want to be treated. Amen. Amen. Go in the love of Christ.
Thanks for joining us today on the Mountain Home Church the Nazarene podcast. Don't forget to visit us at mhnazarene.org/connect if you'd like to connect with us, and have a great week.